Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with God Has More for Us as we pick up in Obadiah, chapter 1, verse 15. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
Now the Lord declares, for the day of the Lord is near upon all of the heathen, and as you have done, it shall be done unto thee. Here is one of those basic truths that we find also expressed in the New Testament. As a man soweth, that shall he also reap. As you have done, so shall it be done unto thee. Thy reward, that which you have done, will return on your own head. For as ye have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all of the heathen drink continually. Yes, they shall drink and they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been. Though Edom is to be destroyed, yet God promises that his people who were being chastised and Edom was rejoicing in it, they are to be preserved and remain. And so he pronounces the judgment. Edom is to be destroyed, but upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance. And there shall be holiness in the house of Jacob, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. Now that's one thing the house of Jacob has never yet done. You remember when God was bringing the children of Israel into the land, and Joshua was leading them in the conquest of the land. Several times over in Joshua you read, but they did not possess all of the land. There was a failure to go in and to possess all of their possessions. Now God had promised them the land from the great river in Egypt even to the Euphrates. That's what God had promised to Israel. They have never in all of their history possessed all of that land that God had promised to them. When Joshua was leading the children of Israel into the land that God had promised, God said to Joshua, behold, I have given you the land. I'll go before you. I'll drive out the inhabitants, but I'm not going to drive them all out at once. I'll drive them out only as you go in and possess. If I drove them out all at once, then the wild beasts and all would come in, and you'd have that problem when you arrived. The land would become overgrown and desolate. So I will drive them out little by little before you, and every place you put your foot, I have given it to you for a possession. In other words, it's all there, Joshua, it's all yours. All you have to do is go in and lay your foot down on it and say, hey, this is mine. You have to go in and claim your possession. You have to go in and take by faith that which I have given you and possess the land. But the sad story of Joshua is the failure of the children of Israel to possess all that God had given to them. The city of the Jebusites was not taken until the time of David. And much of the land of the Philistines was not taken until the time of David. I think of how God has given to us, as Peter said, exceeding rich and precious promises, that by these we might become the partakers of the divine nature, and yet how we fail to possess all that God has given to us. There is so much more that God has for us that we have not yet obtained because of our own failure to possess our possessions. It's ours by divine gift. God has promised us these things. But yet, as with the children of Israel, through our lack of faith, we're not stepping in and laying claim to that which God has promised to us. Yet the same principle is true. Every place you place your foot, God has given it. Not I will give it to you, but I have given it to you. It's already given. All you have to do is go in and lay claim to it. And these glorious promises of God, what we need to do is to just go in and lay claim. All right, Lord, you've promised it, and I claim it, and begin to possess our possessions. Now, here is the prophecy that the day will come. The day of the Lord is going to come, in which there in Mount Zion will be deliverance. This deliverance in Mount Zion is prophesied in other passages of the Old Testament, and is made reference to by Paul in the book of Hebrews when God removes the blindness from the nation of Israel and begins to deal with Israel once again, Romans chapter 11. For blindness has happened to Israel in part until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, and then all Israel shall be saved. As saith the scripture, there shall be a deliverer in Zion. And so a reference to this passage and other parallel passages in the prophets as God speaks of that last day revival of the Jewish people when God claims them again. God takes back his bride, Israel, and bestows again his blessing and his favor upon it, the deliverer in Zion. And there shall be holiness in the house of Jacob, and there shall be holiness, semicolon, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. Their borders will be expanded to those territories that God promised unto Abraham and also unto Jacob and then unto Moses. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble. And they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord hath spoken it. So Esau is to be destroyed, none remaining, and Jacob, Joseph, shall the tribes of Israel possess. And they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau, and they of the plain, the Philistines, and they shall possess the fields of Ephraim and the fields of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead. And the captivity of this host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even to Zarephath, and the captivity of Jerusalem, which is in Sepharad, shall possess the cities of the south. And saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be Jehovah's or Yahweh's. So the prophecy of Obadiah basically addressed against Edom, but going into the day of the Lord when God blesses Israel once again, when the deliverer is in Zion and the Lord reigns. Now we come to that interesting prophet Jonah. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Nineveh, a great city. In fact, the historians say that it was the largest city in the ancient world. There is a reference later on in Jonah to Nineveh being 3 days' journey. What is meant by that is that it took 3 days to walk through Nineveh. So going from one end of Nineveh to the other, walking, was a 3-day journey. So it was indeed a great city. In fact, the population of Nineveh, no doubt, was quite large because there were 60,000 babies in Nineveh, so young as to not know their right hand from their left hand. Now, that's something children will usually learn about 4 or 5 years old. So having a population of 60,000, say under 5, you can come to a rough estimate of what the total population of Nineveh might have been. A great city, but the problem was it was a wicked city. Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. The Assyrians, historically, were extremely cruel people. History tells us how that the Assyrians would maim their enemies in war, how that they would desecrate the bodies of the victims of war, impaling them, maiming them, cutting off the ears of their prisoners or cutting off the noses of the prisoners or pulling out the tongues of the prisoners. They were horribly cruel, inflicting grotesque type of maiming processes upon the prisoners of war that they would take. So that history tells us that there were cities that when surrounded by the Assyrian army and doomed to fall, that the inhabitants of the cities would all commit suicide. The Assyrian Empire was the empire that finally conquered the northern kingdom of Israel, and they moved against the southern kingdom and surrounded Jerusalem and had cut Jerusalem off and had Jerusalem under siege. Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, sent the Rabshakeh to Hezekiah with threatening letters, blasphemous letters against God. And Hezekiah would take these letters in and he would spread them out before the Lord. And he'd say, look, Lord, what the guy is saying he's going to do. And the guy was promising how he was going to maim them and torture them and what he was going to do when they fell. And Hezekiah just spread the letters out before the Lord and said, look at these things that they're saying they're going to do. And Lord, they're able to do them. But all the while, the prophet Isaiah was saying to Hezekiah, look, Hezekiah, don't worry. God is going to take care of you. God is going to deliver you out of the hands of the Assyrians. They are going to be turned back by the hand of the Lord, and the king of Assyria is going to be assassinated in his own land. So you don't have to worry, Hezekiah. Just trust in God. God will take care of it. But it was hard to trust in God because here was that huge Assyrian army, over 185,000 men, surrounding the city of Jerusalem. They were cut off from their supplies. And here they were coming up to the wall and they were yelling to the people, don't let Hezekiah deceive you, saying, trust in the Lord. Where are the gods of the Israelites? Where are the gods of Syria? Where are the gods of these other nations that we have conquered? They weren't able to deliver them from our hand, and neither will your God deliver out of our hand. Don't believe the words of Hezekiah saying, just trust in the Lord. And the men were there on the wall listening and trembling as these threats were being made, and they heard the blasphemes, how that they were going to cut off every man in Israel, torturing, maiming them. And inside, Isaiah saying, hey, keep cool, Hezekiah, don't worry. God's going to take care of it. God's going to deliver them into your hand. Don't worry, Hezekiah. And one morning, when the children of Israel arose and went to the wall to look at the encampment of the Assyrians, behold, to their amazement, the Assyrian forces were all dead corpses. 185,000 of them lay slain on the ground. That night, the angel of the Lord had gone through the camp of the Assyrians and had destroyed them. King Sennacherib escaped back to Assyria, and as he went into the house of his god Rimmon, his two sons assassinated him, and they fled to Armenia, and another son of Sennacherib began to reign in his stead. But the back of Assyria was broken. Now, at the point that God said to Jonah, go to Nineveh, that great city, that wicked city, and prophesy, was when Assyria was ascending in power. Assyria had not yet become the world-dominating power. There was a vying at this point between Egypt and Syria and Assyria. But gradually, Assyria was gaining ascendancy and power, and they were becoming a real threat to Israel and to Judah. At the time, the Lord said to Jonah, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Nineveh was east and north from Israel. Jonah went down and caught a ship going west. He's going to run from the call of God. Now, God is calling him to go and preach to the Gentiles. Something he did not want to do. And he felt this nationalistic spirit. Salvation is of the Jews. It's not for the Gentiles. He did not want to go to the Gentiles. And so he went to Joppa to escape the call of God to go to the Gentiles. It is interesting that several years later, in this very same port city of Joppa, as Peter was on the rooftop of the house of Simon the Tanner, that he saw this sheet in a vision let down from heaven, tied with the corners with all manner of beast and creeping things on it. And the Lord said to Peter, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And when Peter objected, saying, Lord, I've never eaten anything that was unclean or common, God said, don't call that common which I have cleansed. And after this thing happened three times, Peter wondered, what in the world does this mean? And the Lord spoke to him and said, there are some men now down at the gate inquiring for you. Go with them and don't ask any questions. I'll tell you what to say. And there in Joppa is where Peter was called to take the gospel to the Gentiles. Interesting how things always seem to come back. It was to Joppa that Jonah ran to catch a ship to escape preaching to the Gentiles. It was at Joppa that the Lord called Peter and said, go to the Gentiles. And the door of the gospel was open to the Gentiles as God dealt with Peter there in Joppa. Jonah was arising and seeking to flee from the presence of the Lord, heading for Tarshish. Biblical scholars are divided as to the location of Tarshish. Some say it is a part of Spain. Others say it is England. The preponderance of scholars seem to favor England. Wherever Tarshish was, it was the furthest outpost of the known world at that time. It was the jumping off. You can't go any farther than Tarshish from the civilized world. It was the end. It was as far as you can go. Beyond Tarshish lay that wild, boisterous Atlantic. And out there somewhere, that precipice, that chasm that just the ships dropped off into oblivion. No ships ever came back from their voyages on the Atlantic. They surely must have gone over the edge of the world someplace and disappeared. So Tarshish was as far as you dared to go, and that's where Jonah was heading. I'm going to get as far away from God as I can. I'll head for Tarshish to hide from the call of God, from the presence of the Lord. Now, there are many people who do make the mistake of attempting to localize God, as though God dwells in one place as over against another place, as though God dwells here in the sanctuary more so than in your home. Oh, I wanted to come to the church to pray so I could be close to God. I like to go up to the mountains to pray because I'm so much closer to God, 5,000 feet. As though God, you know, is somewhere off there in the vast universe. And of course, better yet, if you can get in a balloon or in a U-2 or something, you know, get closer to God. Not so. God fills every place in this vast universe, or in any other universe that exists.
We'll continue with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Jonah on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Obadiah 1 through Jonah 1 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you. Fill your heart with love. Fill your heart with praise. Fill your heart with God's Spirit, that He might work in you, bringing you into the image of Christ, helping you to be what God wants you to be, a true representation of Him before this poor, sad, sin-cursed world. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
What does the future hold?
Is the end of time really near?
When will the church be raptured?
What is the rapture?
Will we see the Antichrist?
What about the Great Tribulation?
Join Pastor Chuck Smith as he answers these and many more questions about the end times in his exciting book, Final Act. Now available in hardcover, Pastor Chuck gives great insight into man's final days here on earth.
Joe Rosenberg calls Final Act a powerful, provocative end times primer. Tim LaHaye states, this unique and dramatic treatment is both true to Scripture and practical.
Read about this exciting drama and get answers to your questions on world wars, the Antichrist, the Great Tribulation, the Second Coming, and more.
For more information on how to order your copy, visit us online at thewordfortoday.org or call toll-free at 1-800-272-WORD. That's 1-800-272-9673.